What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, we got to see an actual football game. I myself am really excited for this show today. I've been really just stoked to see the Chargers on the field and players we wanted to see get to take the field last week. And today we're going to get into a recap of the game and tell you guys everything that happened quickly. I know the results don't really matter in the preseason, but we're also going to tell you the guys we were unimpressed with, as well as the guys we were impressed with the most to end the show today. But we're actually going to start with some news today because we had some news come out about a current Charger right now. And then more news, not the good kind, from a former Charger that some certain podcasts, we're not going to say any which podcast they were banging on the table to sign this guy. So some really big news with Darius Filon coming up in the first segment. So let's go ahead and get into it, guys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. Andrew Vollert, a tight end on the Chargers who came in after not really doing anything with many other NFL teams, kind of an unknown player, but found himself right in the mix with a strong camp to make it onto the roster as maybe the third or fourth string tight end. And in his first preseason game, guys, he actually caught a big pass for 25 yards, looked really quick, looked fast. I mean, looked like a receiver out there and something to get excited about. Unfortunately, later on in the game, he had to leave the field because he tore his ACL, we later found out, which effectively ends his season. I wouldn't expect a Hunter Henry-type return for Andrew Vollert, who was really just fighting to make the roster and got off to a pretty impressive start, John, before it kind of all came crumbling down. And that's the most heartbreaking part of these preseason games, is seeing some of these guys fighting for roster spots and doing extremely well, like we've seen like a guy from Artavis Scott in the past, and then just in one meaningless preseason snap, you go down and your season is gone.
Yeah, he's a guy who's really good at catching the ball and running after the catch, can be a deep threat, and all that talent he has is gone after like not even a full game. And having that torn ACL, even if he was to try for a Hunter Henry comeback, the Chargers aren't even going to put in the effort to make him come back. So his season is definitely done. He could have even scored a touchdown in this game. People would have been talking about this guy if he had just cut right with his blocks. He would have had a touchdown on that pass that you mentioned earlier. This guy had a definite chance at making the roster, maybe being past Sean Culkin. I'm going to put that up there. I think he could have maybe passed Sean Culkin for the final roster spot towards the end of the year after what I saw in this first game. But for an ACL, he's definitely done.
Yeah, just a really heartbreaking story for a guy that, I mean, really could have been an improvement to what this team have. I mean, Sean Culkin has impressed some this season already in training camp and in the first preseason game had a catch. But at the same time, we saw what this tight end group was last year when it was Virgil Green, Hunter Henry, and Sean Culkin. Obviously, after Hunter Henry went out, you throw Antonio Gates there. But Sean Culkin only had one catch last season. It was a really good catch, but he was a non-factor. So it's easy to say that his spot was absolutely up for grabs, and Andrew Vollert was one of the guys competing to take it. So really sucks, and it sucks for the Chargers too because they lost a potential guy that could have been a contributor this year. I don't want to blow things out of proportion. It was one catch in a preseason game, but that's how open that third spot is. He definitely could have made some noise if he continued his good work in preseason and in training camp. But then, David, we have to get to some bad news, at least for one former Charger, Darius Filon, a guy that we wanted back badly. I know you did as well as I. I mean, he had his best year last year. He was the best Chargers interior defensive lineman by a lot, and he signed with the Cardinals in the offseason instead of the Chargers, and the Chargers brought back Brandon Mebane, and I was absolutely furious. But then you see some surprising news coming in through the media that Darius Filon was arrested and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon for an incident in May, which is just, I mean, crazy. Nothing that we saw here, David, and you know, maybe Tom Telesco knows a little bit more. I mean, obviously he couldn't have known about this. He signed in March and then this happened in May. So it's not as if he knew about something that had already happened, but maybe there were some character concerns involved with him not re-signing their best defensive interior lineman last season.
Yeah, it definitely begs the question, Daniel. I mean, did they have any information that they didn't disclose to us? I mean, and would that be the first time that that happened? Absolutely not. So, guys, hindsight is 20/20. Looking back, you know, I was absolutely pounding the table. I was adamant that I thought the Chargers should bring back Darius Filon and give him that money that they ultimately decided to give to Brandon Mebane. He made a bad decision, and now he's going to have to pay the repercussions for those actions. You know, the Chargers gave the money to the right person. So crazy story, and, you know, I hope everybody involved, you know, is okay.
Well, and one of the main reasons they decided for re-signing Brandon Mebane was his leadership and his character. And obviously, we kind of thought they overvalued the character and leadership parts of that and giving him that contract because the production didn't necessarily match it. But then something like this happens, and the Chargers have been pretty scandal-free, knock on wood. I mean, this is a pretty relatively clean program, guys. We don't see these stories pop up with guys that are currently on the team. So it's definitely shocking news for Darius Filon. Obviously, that's going to be a story that we have to monitor closely going forward because he has already been cut by the Arizona Cardinals after signing that two-year, $10 million deal. And now he has to go through the legal process and see what the league has to say about it as well. But that's going to wrap things up for the first segment. Now we need to get into the actual game, guys, which gets me really excited. I mean, football is back, guys. And another thing that gets me really excited, I will tell you, is BlueChew.com. Guys, that's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, guys, since you listen to the Locked On Chargers podcast, we have a special deal. When you go to BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment for free. Yep, that's free with the promo code Locked On. All you have to do is pay $5 for the shipping. The product is free. Again, guys, that's BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, guys, well, it's time to talk about some football that we actually got to see, and then we'll also tell you some of the guys we were not impressed with in this segment. But let's go ahead and get into the game. I mean, a lot of eyes on this game because the number one overall pick, Kyler Murray, was getting the start for the Cardinals. And to his credit, he did good. But that wasn't before the Chargers took the opening kickoff down to the 2-yard line. Tyrod Taylor doing some of it with his legs. Austin Eckler doing it on the ground and in the air. Austin Eckler looking really sharp. Got a run from Justin Jackson as well. And then on the 2-yard line, Austin Eckler fumbles it, and the Cardinals recover. Jordan Hicks, another guy we kind of pounded the table for a little bit, stripped him and recovered it. Kyler Murray came on to complete 6 of his 7 passes. He looked good. A lot of short throws, but they ended up getting a penalty and a sack from the Chargers defense by Chris Peace, who looked pretty good in this game as well and ended that drive. And then the Chargers came back down on their next possession with Mike Williams, a big catch from Mike Williams on the sideline on 3rd down. Great throw by Tyrod Taylor, and he just made it look routine, but it was an extremely difficult catch, coming back shoulder, high-pointing the football on the sideline, getting his feet in and keeping the chains moving. Tyrod Taylor kept the chains moving with his legs before Justin Jackson, guys, took a ball into the end zone and absolutely trucked a Cardinals DB in doing it. That was nice to watch, and that was it for Tyrod Taylor, who finished his day. Ended up 6 out of 6 on his passes for 72 yards. It didn't get the touchdown pass, but also carried the ball twice for 34 yards, looking like a really good backup that we thought he would. So, you know, Cardale Jones comes into the game. The offense really stalls. He goes 4 for 6, but it took 2 sacks and just did not look good. And that gave room for Easton Stick to come in and just really electrify the game. You guys completed 7 out of his 11 passes, did have a really bad interception, but the best came after that because he ended up running in a touchdown for 31 yards, made a man miss, looked super athletic, way more athletic than I saw at North Dakota State. I mean, amongst professionals, yes, it was late in a preseason game, but looked electric, and they ended up losing the game 17-13, but we got to learn a lot about some players we didn't necessarily know a lot about before. And I think that's what's important about these preseason games. I know you guys would agree with me on that. But, you know, before we get into the good segment of who impressed us, let's talk about who didn't impress us in this game. And David, first, let me just ask you how you felt about the game, how you thought it went, and if you got to see the guys you wanted to. And then tell me somebody that you were unimpressed with when you watched it.
Yeah, no. Well, first of all, obviously, I loved being able to watch Chargers football for the first time in a long time. So that was good. I did get to see a lot of the guys that I was impressed with, but, you know, I'll get into that. The game, I thought, went really well. I think the offense, the running game really kept the ball moving down the field. They were zipping and zagging and creating more yards in space. Eckler had that fumble, which obviously not great, although I'm sure Melvin Gordon was happy about that since he hasn't fumbled in a while and he gets into the end zone quite a bit. But then, you know, Justin Jackson, he does get into the end zone. Like you said, he trucked a defender, which was phenomenal. But I think a guy, you know, and I was focusing a lot on the offensive line guys. I mean, I think we all were, but a guy that I was definitely not impressed with, but the bar wasn't very high in the first place. But Trey Pipkins, guys, was really bad. I mean, really bad. I mean, we saw a couple of plays and even a video pointed out to us that showed him completely missing his assignment. I mean, he's got good size. He's got, you know, good length, but, man, he's got a lot of work, Daniel.
Yeah, he has a lot of work, and that's why we didn't call it the segment, the letdowns, because you kind of have to expect something. But I put on Twitter, you know, he is who we thought he was. He's a developmental guy who doesn't really have what it takes to start in this league right now or be a big factor on an offensive line because he's just too raw coming from a Division II school. So I'm not surprised by it, but obviously, yeah, he gave up a couple sacks, had some pretty, you know, boneheaded plays, just missing guys and just standing in open space while not blocking anyone. So it was a rough start for Trey Pipkins, but obviously he's a work in progress. But let's talk about the obvious guy that was unimpressive and the obvious guy that everyone's talking about and can't wait to see gone, and that's Cardale Jones, who really had a tough game, didn't make some of the right reads you would like him to make at this point, missed Artavis Scott on a wide open pass to the boundary that he could have, you know, had some space to actually do something with. Felt bad for Artavis Scott there, and he ran into a couple sacks, John. And I know you have people you're unimpressed with as well, so I want you to tell me those. But also, I mean, just speak to the fact that pretty much everyone at this point wants Cardale Jones off the team as far as the fan base goes.
I wanted him off once we got Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Once we signed Tyrod, it was like, okay, can we get rid of Cardale and make room for more offensive linemen and defensive linemen on this preseason roster? And he's still here. We're carrying four QBs right now. I would be fine with just Tyrod and Easton Stick. Let them take all the reps and develop them. If Tyrod uses his 2 years and we keep Easton Stick afterward, at least we know he got a lot of time to practice. The fact that Cardale is still here puzzles me. And this game shows it. He's nothing. He won a national championship at Ohio State. Cool. Everybody on that team probably won one, even though he was the third string QB. Everyone on there is top talent. He comes to the Chargers where you have to have Phillip Rivers-like passing ability, and he doesn't have that. He has this running around trying to be a big body QB, and he doesn't succeed with it. So he needs to go. As far as the other guys, I wasn't like, I'm sorry, Daniel, but Cortez Broughton looked really slow off the line, and I don't know if it's because he's still adjusting to NFL speed or what, but there was some times where he was still in his stance as the ball was hiked, or by the time he got into his offensive lineman, he wasn't moving anywhere at all. It looked like he was standing straight up, like as if the guy got lower than him and faster than him. I need to see more out of Cortez because I had high hopes for him. The other guy is the guy I brought up, and that's Jeremy Cox. Oh my God, can you please lock onto a block? You literally went up to a guy to block him and got pushed out of the way like a rag doll twice. Can you please block someone? You are big.
Yeah, the pass protection by the running backs, especially later in the game, was not great. I mean, and that's putting it nicely. And guys, honestly, I have to kind of throw in that I was a little bit unimpressed with Forrest Lamp. I thought that he had a lot of really good reps. I mean, you could say it about Trent Scott as well. There's a couple other guys you could put that spotlight on. I think the after the top four corners, I thought the rest of the corners had a little bit of a tough time. So I think there's other spots you could highlight. But Forrest Lamp is obviously just a guy that has been so hyped up, and we're part of that problem as well. But I thought he had some really good snaps. I also thought that he had some pretty unimpressive snaps, and that's what belongs in this category. So I know I was expecting a lot from Forrest Lamp, but I didn't necessarily see everything that I wanted to. He played the entire game along with Dan Feeney. And I just thought, you know, especially as he got later on in the game going up against lesser competition, that he would just be dominating some of these guys and pancaking them every play. But that's just, you know, the legend of Forrest Lamp. And he's definitely rusty. And this is his first game action in forever. Anything, you know, above a few snaps. So I think he has time to shake it off. Let's all remember Derwin James didn't come out of the box fantastic last year. Mike Williams didn't do a lot in the preseason and absolutely erupted. So I think it's too soon to say on Forrest Lamp, but hopefully we get to see some progression and see him playing better, because they had him at right and left guard. Thought he looked better at right, but it was against worse competition. So it's hard to say, but he definitely had a few questionable snaps in there. And that's coming from the Forrest Lamp fan club. But we do have one more segment to get into, a much better tone on this segment and a lot more people to talk about. And that's the who impressed us in this game. There's a lot of guys that showed up for this game and kind of put their name on the map of, hey, we're guys that deserve a chance for this team. And that's coming up right after this. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of today's show. We'll probably talk a little bit more preseason even tomorrow, because there's just so much to talk about in this game. And I know it's preseason, but at the same time, this is where we find out the guys that are going to make the team. And how do you make the team, guys? You impress in the preseason. You impress in camp. And a couple of guys did just that. So let's go ahead and get into who we really were impressed with in this game, because I think there's a few different candidates. I'll just say off the bat that the running backs, instead of Melvin Gordon, Austin Ekeler, and Justin Jackson, were really impressive as a tandem. I think this offensive line, the one thing they're really going to have to do, and that they did well in the first couple of drives, is run block. I mean, you can cover up a lot of really bad pass protection by being able to stuff the ball down people's throats. And I don't think this offensive line is going to do that, John. But I think that's one way you can kind of hide the weaknesses of your offensive line, is to be good at running the football. And they were early in this game running a lot the first two drives. And it's helped by, you know, mobile quarterbacks that you won't have during the regular season because you have Phillip Rivers. But I was impressed with the way that the Chargers were kind of able to dictate this game early with the running game. And that really impressed me.
And you got to mention Tremaine Pope in that too. He did a pretty decent job running the ball. I mean, his stats don't say otherwise, but with how well he hit the holes, was running into people, and even in the passing game, he did pretty well.
Yeah, and they were called back by penalties. He had a few different ones. His stat line would look a lot different.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that he also had big numbers that are not on the stat sheet due to holding, which is heartbreaking, because when you have a guy that's making all these plays, yeah, it's on tape and coaches can go, yeah, he did good, we can probably keep this guy, but you're not going to get to keep that run forever if this is your only time playing in the NFL. So I feel bad for the guy, but Pope surprised me. I liked what I saw out of him. I'm starting to think maybe him and Detrez Newsome might be fighting it out for a chance on the practice squad, or being that third running back on the team, because Detrez Newsome didn't really shine in this game. I thought we were going to see what he did last year in this game. He didn't. So Tremaine Pope, with his running ability, really impressed me. And I think with him, Ekeler, and Jackson all showing out in this preseason game, I think it really covered up the offensive line's inability to pass block.
Right. And that's something that would be nice, you know, to have that kind of luxury. And obviously your rushing attack takes a little bit of a hit without Melvin Gordon to this point. So that's something that we're still kind of just waiting to see how that goes. But you were impressed with the guys that you saw. Tremaine Pope did look good. And Detrez Newsome, you know, 5 for 13, had one catch for 0 yards. I mean, it wasn't his best game. He has a little bit more of a track record. But David, two of the guys that Gus Bradley talked about today, as far as guys that impressed him in this game, were Michael Davis and Justin Jones. There was no Melvin Ingram in this game. There was no Joey Bosa in this game. So the Chargers defensive line was a lot different, but Justin Jones, the prohibitive starter right now, had some good energy. Michael Davis had a pretty good play. Who impressed you defensively?
So I had my eye on Drew Tranquil coming into this game, and I was absolutely not let down. Drew Tranquil was all over the field. He made a phenomenal hit on kickoff, laying out the ball carrier. He obviously got an interception. He was good in the run game. He was just all over the place, and I loved his energy. I loved his coverage ability. I mean, the guy can play, man. So I was really impressed by Drew Tranquil on this one.
And surprisingly, DeZubner was all over the field, too, in this game.
Yeah, DeZubner was all over the field. The only thing I'll say about DeZubner, though, is it just seemed like he was kind of always a second late in coverage, which, I mean, he made the tackles, and he was very sure-handed and didn't let guys get a lot of yards after the catch. So I thought he did that well. But at the same time, a lot of easy, you know, 5 and 6 yard passes happening around him, which is kind of like death by 1,000 paper cuts. But Drew Tranquil, what actually surprised me the most, John, was just his ability to actually get in the linemen and evade blocks and make tackles in the running game. Because that was one of the parts of his game that I wasn't super high on when he was in college. He's obviously a former safety. He's playing linebacker now. And he was playing, you know, Mike and Will linebacker in this game. So they've had him at a bunch, but they had him calling the defense and playing Mike linebacker as a smaller guy, a small, thick guy. But, I mean, he was pretty rangy. He did a lot of good things in this game, but I was most impressed with him sticking his nose into the linemen and making tackles and run stops.
I'm not going to lie. During the game, I came up with a cheesy name for him. I called him Anti-Manti. Manti Te'o could not get off a block to save his life. And every time I saw him get off a block or hit offensive lineman and make a tackle steal, I was like, dude, if only Manti could have done that, he could have been something. And I was like, this guy's like the anti-Manti. And I was like, oh, I got to save that for the show so I can sound corny.
Well, it worked. And yes, it was also corny as well. So both check marks right there for you, John. But there's more guys to talk about in this game because, hey, we haven't even talked any Easton Stick yet, John. And I know you're down to talk some Easton Stick because, hey, the anti-Cardale, you definitely want Easton Stick to come out there considering the Chargers spent a fifth-round pick on him. I mean, you don't want to see your fifth-round pick having to go to the practice squad and having other teams be able to poach him. We're all tired of Cardale Jones. But, John, even with the interception, which is obviously a bad interception, I will say that, he had a third and long where he absolutely zipped a throw on the sideline to Smallwood, who made a really impressive catch, got his knee down in bounds on 3rd and 16, I believe. And then he has that run where he just shakes a guy out of his shoes and breaks another tackle on his way to the end zone, 31 yards. I was super surprised by Easton Stick, and you know the Easton Stick fan club is out there. So, I mean, his hype level is all time right now.
Well, and you got to give credit to me for putting him in the mock draft. So thank you and thank you. But
in the 7th round.
But yeah, when I was scouting him, I saw this guy that had really good pocket presence that could run. And I saw a lot of that today, except for that interception. I don't know if he got fooled by coverage or something, or if he was just trying to force it or pressure was on him or something because it's his first NFL game. But that interception was horrible. But other than that, I thought he did pretty well staying in the pocket, trying to get things done with an offensive line that was not helping him at all. And that throw to Smallwood was literally on the mark to where only he could get it. And Smallwood making a great catch. You got to give him credit for that too. But with that run, and he didn't even want to slide. He wanted to avoid defenders, run another direction. He wanted to keep going. This guy could be something, but he's got to still work a lot on his ability in the pocket for the NFL. But he looks like someone that you could groom.
Yeah, he does look like that. And another guy, David, you talked about how good he looked in the training camp. That was Tyrod Taylor, who finishes perfect, 6 for 6, has 34 rushing yards. I mean, just the total package and definitely the best backup Phillip Rivers had in a long time. But we saw it. I know it's preseason, but now you know. You have a legitimate starting caliber backup behind Phillip Rivers. And, I mean, he showed it on Thursday night.
Yeah, no, I thought Tyrod was calm, cool, and collected. I thought he'd make great decisions with the football, even when he decided to tuck and run. It seemed like it was effortless. And, man, that's such a great reassuring feeling. I don't think the Chargers have had a competent backup quarterback in a very long time. And God forbid, if something happens to Phillip Rivers, I think you actually have some confidence that Tyrod Taylor can come in and he can make plays and keep this team competitive, you know, if something were to happen. But yeah, this was a great first impression for Tyrod Taylor to show the Charger fans that, hey, I was a starting quarterback in this league for a reason. And the Chargers definitely have their best backup quarterback since Billy Volek, without question.
We couldn't have been that surprised by Tyrod. I mean, were you guys really that surprised that Tyrod did this?
No, but I was impressed. I mean, I don't know if surprise is the right word, but I mean, I was impressed for Tyrod, who, don't forget, had a pretty terrible start to the year last year. I know it's preseason, but I was definitely impressed. But John, I actually want to ask you just about the depth of the edge rushers. We saw Uchenna and Wosu line up a lot at defensive end, getting after the quarterback, and he had a couple pretty good plays, got in the backfield pretty quickly. Isaac Rochelle got a sack and showed well a couple of times getting penetration. And then also Chris Peace, who is a relative unknown, got a lot of snaps early in this game and was getting pressure, got a sack as well. So, I mean, neither of the Chargers' best pass rushers played in this game. And at least early in the game, the Chargers were getting a pretty good pass rush with the guys they had in there.
In the beginning, yes, they were getting a pretty good pass rush. I'd say a really good pass rush, and they were even stopping the run. It looked pretty good. So, but once the guys after that came in, it was like night and day. We have no depth when it comes to this part of the game.
How is that no depth, though? Because your two best guys, you have a third, fourth, and fifth guy that all showed up well. That's five pass rushers. That's pretty good depth.
I wouldn't call them all third, fourth, and fifth, because you have to split it up. If you have Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa, you got to split it up on each side as the backups go. So there's guys after that. And I'm not just talking edge rushers here, because it could be a linebacker, it could be a defensive end, but it could also be the DBs who were doing edge rushing and stuff like that.
I'm just talking about the position, though, of an edge defender.
Oh, bro. I want to talk about how bad the run game was, because the edge defenders themselves, after those guys, were not that great.
The
guys you mentioned played really good. And like guys like Chris Peace, he got my attention. I want to keep my eye on him. But those guys after that literally should probably get kicked out of here. And we should bring in more defensive linemen or more outside linebackers, somebody that'll actually put in effort. I didn't see effort. I saw guys just getting to a spot and going, hey, look, I did my job. I'm here. And then there goes a Cardinals, another first down run. I didn't see much out of those guys that made me think that they're actually trying to win a spot. I feel like they're just trying to do their job and hope for the best. Guys like Chris Peace, Isaac Rochelle, Uchenna Nwosu, they showed out. And the fact that Nwosu played so much snaps in this game has me puzzled also. I don't know why they played him so much. I mean, yeah, he came off an injury, but he could get injured again. But those guys showed out, and I liked what I saw out of them. But it's the guys after that, it's the DBs after that that weren't tackling the running back, that were just dropping them all. It's guys like that that bother me. So if we can get rid of them and get some more rep for guys like Nazir Adderley and those guys in the next game, I think we could have some better put out as far as run stopping goes.
Yeah, I mean, I think the run stopping was definitely a negative towards the end. But as far as defensive ends, guys playing defensive end, if you have five defensive ends, you're not going to carry much more than that anyways. So as far as the guys that should potentially see snaps this year, I was pretty happy with that altogether. And obviously there's some guys that didn't play well in the second half, but hey, we're keeping things positive. This is who impressed us. And a lot of those guys were not necessarily guys we were high on to make the team anyways, outside of Cortez Broughton, who still has a lot of time. And all of these guys have a lot of time, but there was even more guys that impressed us that we didn't even get to get into. But there was a lot of really positive signs in this game. And we're going to see a lot more of these guys going forward in the preseason, if game one was any example of that. So we'll get into even some more preseason talk and some training camp talk tomorrow. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Until then, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing wherever you get your podcast from, whether it's Google Podcasts, TuneIn, or wherever. And also, if you guys want to get your voicemails on the show, we have one from the preseason game I'm going to play tomorrow. So if you guys want to get any of those on tomorrow's show, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. The number is 323-524-7924. Alvin Tunsil, you might have to call if you want to get your questions answered. So make sure to do that, guys, if you want your voice on the Locked On Chargers podcast. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow to talk more Chargers football. Football is back, baby. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.